St. John, Apostle and Evangelist, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, I thought we would say an Our Father today, and I know that Our Lady wouldn't mind. We'd say an Our Father today because usually that's the way that the saints, especially, well, St. Edward the Confessor and our own St. Gertrude the Great, would honor the great evangelist, which means he's the one who wrote the fourth gospel, St. John. St. John's feast day comes during Christmas vacation, just a couple of days after our Lord's birthday, and he also has a feast day, which is today, during the Easter season. Today is the day on which St. John was already an old man and had preached the faith throughout much of the East and had written a gospel and some epistles and done so much, really. Well, today's the day on which a particularly wicked emperor, his name was Domitian, had him brought to Rome and in front of one of the gates that led into the city called the Latin Gate, he was thrown into a cauldron of boiling oil. Whenever I think of cauldrons of boiling oil, I always think of the cannibals in Africa, of course. And you know, Father, in Kamuke's people, his native tribe, about two centuries ago or even less, they were cannibals. And they had this odd territorial idea. Sometimes the clergy have that too. And if anybody came into their territory whom they didn't know, they got extremely upset and they would usually cook him for lunch. Well, of course, it was too bad for you if you didn't have the right credentials and you weren't known. But fortunately, great missionaries from Ireland came, the Holy Ghost Fathers, Father Shanahan and his companions, and they converted all of the cannibals and turned them into good Christians. And now we have our first African priest named Father Nkamuke, and he's restoring the true Catholic faith there. And the seminarian that used to visit us sometimes, Mr. Abraham, Chuku is his name, well, he's back with him now too and getting the last of his studies. So that's good news. And as far as I know, there aren't any cannibals left there. The cauldron of boiling oil. What was that about? Well, St. John wouldn't give up the Catholic faith in preaching the divinity of our Lord, and the emperor, who was a pagan and who hated Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church, wanted to destroy it. So he thought, right, there's only one apostle who's left, and I'll have him scourged, which must have hurt very much, and then thrown into this oil. And St. John was ready to go to suffer for our Lord, and then to die and to go to heaven, because after all, going to heaven is the last point on our itinerary, isn't it? That's where we're all supposed to be going to, heaven, one way and another, and usually there's some suffering involved. So St. John was all packed up and ready to go, and he suffered all of this, and he said his prayers and probably closed his eyes tight, and plop, into the boiling hot oil he went. And what do you suppose happened? Why, nothing at all. It didn't hurt him in the least. Actually, it felt good, even better than a bubble bath. And it made him feel younger, better, stronger than he had ever felt before for many, many years. And his skin, which had been all torn up by the scourges and bloody and everything, got all healed. And his arthritis went away, and he could walk, and his memory was 30% better. And all of these wonderful things happened to him, and nothing bad happened at all. Because you never know, all of these things, children, are in the hands of God. But why? What was the reason for that? Why was St. John the only one of the 12 apostles who didn't have to die as a martyr and have to suffer the pains of death? Well, our Lord said at the Last Supper, he told St. Peter, who was sometimes he was a little bit of a busybody, St. Peter was, and he asked too many questions. Do you know anybody like that? Well, he told St. Peter, never mind about him. I want him to stay just as he is, until I come, meaning until I come to get him in glory to take him home to heaven. And the reason for that, I was thinking this morning, is that who of the 12 apostles were with Jesus and Mary on Good Friday, on Calvary, when our Lord suffered and died on the cross? Not Peter and not Philip not James or James or Bartholomew or Andrew or any of them except for St. John. He was the youngest. Let that be a good example to you, little ones. He was the youngest apostle, and he was the only one who kept Mary company and stood bravely next to the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, unlike the Blessed Mother, St. John didn't exactly understand everything, just as you little ones, you don't understand everything about your faith or about the Mass or about life or many things, and even you old ones, you still don't understand everything, but that doesn't matter. You're still here. You're still by the cross. You still have your Catholic faith. And you're keeping Jesus and Mary company. And I'm thinking that was the main thing for St. John. For example, he forgot about how our Lord was going to rise from the dead on the third day. Our Lord had taught him that several times, but you know how it is. Your teacher can repeat something to you several times and you still forget it. In one ear and out the other, they say. Well, that's how it was for St. John. He forgot all about the resurrection. But he didn't forget about his love for Jesus Christ, his master. And he didn't forget about the Blessed Mother and how he was supposed to take care of her. And so he did. He was brave, and he stood there, and he suffered very, very much. In a special way, he shared in the death of Jesus that day. Our Lord is the King of Martyrs. No one ever suffered more than our Blessed Savior. So, because he already suffered all of that, he didn't have to suffer anything more. When the time came for him to die, it wouldn't be in a cauldron of boiling oil and tortures and pain. No, no. Very calmly and quietly, he gave up his soul. Just as our Blessed Mother, she didn't have to die at all because she had already died in a spiritual way, we say mystically, on Calvary, in union with our Lord. That's how Our Lady is what we call our co-redemptrix. She helped a little bit her son save and redeem the human race. So they were there on Calvary, and that made all the difference. Now, last of all, what are we doing? Well, we're at Mass, and Mass is about to begin. And what is Mass, children? It's being there on Calvary. You may not understand everything, but you're here, and you love Jesus and Mary, and you want to keep them company over the next hour. And say your prayers and offer up Jesus, the Son of God, to God the Father, to make up for our sins, to adore him, to thank him for all of his blessings, and to ask him for blessings more and favors and graces and special intentions and everything else. That's what we do every day when we come to Mass. You'll never know, children, not until you get to the last point of your destination, how much good all of your Masses have done you and everybody for whom you've prayed. Well, at the very least, never complain about going to Mass, and always keep Jesus and Mary company. If nothing else, say some Our Fathers and some Hail Marys and think, I'm going to be faithful, just as St. John was. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.